At last, EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network, is on the air. Today's show is brought to you by Virtually Ready, where you can extend your reach with web presence solutions. And by Avalon Design Unlimited, your straight-to-the-point design source. Coming up next, it's Social Marketing Strategies with Trey Pennington.
You're listening to EPN.
Well, what I realize is that the traditional legal model is broken. Most people, and if any of you have done any planning, you've gone in, you've met with a lawyer, you sat down, you prepared some documents, you put them on a shelf or in a drawer, you never looked at them again. So what I can tell you is that those documents are meaningless today. Because everything in your life has changed. The law has changed. Your family has changed. Your money has changed. You cannot do planning that way, but that's the typical legal model. If you call your lawyer, you're going to get a bill in the mail 2 weeks later. That's old. That's old. So what you want to look for when you're looking to do planning with a lawyer is you want to look for someone who's not going to bill you hourly. Flat fee agreed to in advance. You don't want surprises. You want someone who is going to have a team around them. I love it. I could not do anything without a team. If I don't have a team, what happens when my clients call the office? They're going to have to wait for me to be available. Hours, days, sometimes weeks to get a phone call back from your lawyer. That's not a relationship. And then the last thing is you want to work with a lawyer who's going to be reviewing things periodically because you're not going to get around to it. But if your lawyer has a system in place to make sure that it happens, then it will. That's what you want to be looking for in a lawyer.
It's America's favorite lawyer, Alexis Martin Neely, coming this month here on EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. And now it's time for Social Marketing Strategies with host Trey Pennington.
Hi, I'm Trey Pennington with 5 lessons from Ad Age's top 5 marketing blogs. You know, in an age of instant gurus, it's reassuring to turn to a reliable source with a little age in the marketing world, and of course that's Ad Age. Their Power 150 system for ranking bloggers objectively measures and assesses those blogs and creates a reliable public ranking for those bloggers. The top 5 Ad Age marketing blogs combine unique perspectives and experiences into a solid counsel for business leaders. Here are 5 lessons from those blogs, along with some action steps for putting those lessons into practice to help you grow your business. The number one marketing blog right now on Ad Age is Chris Brogan's blog. Chances are you've already been to Brogan's site. You may have even read his book, Trust Agents, seen him speak, and met him in person. I'll get the opportunity to meet Chris next month in February in Devon, England at the Like Minds Conference. So I'll let you know, I'll probably do a podcast while I'm there as well. You know, he's one of those overnight success stories that took years to create. And from what I can tell, his success flows from an intensity for heartfelt relationships. You'll notice this when you read How Heartfelt Marketing Delivers, one of his recent posts. The post recounts how Griffin Technologies restored an old VW van and traveled from Nashville to Las Vegas for this year's CES conference. Along the way, they engaged with real people in person and online, and they documented the journey with multimedia. And when I say multimedia, they went old school on us and got Polaroids of the people and places they saw along the way. They also connected with VW fans, who I'm one of those, and we tend to be as crazy about our Volkswagens as we Apple fanatics are about everything Apple. And they became a part of other people's stories on this trip. Brogan says that the Griffin exhibit at CES was a hit, with crowds gathered around and just having fun hanging out with the Griffin folks. They had put the Polaroid pictures all over the van and had other artifacts from their trip. Brogan says it was a hit because it told a heartfelt story that matched the heart and soul of Griffin Technologies. So the lesson from the number one marketing blog is to have fun on your journey and go with the flow of others already on the journey and the flow of those who would like to go on the journey as well. Wherever you're going, there are other people who are already going there before you, so humbly go with them. And there are others who would like to go with you, so embrace them, shine the spotlight on them, and let them have your fun with you. So the action plan here is to ask yourself, where am I going and why do I want to get there? Who else is already on their way there and how can I share the journey with them? Who else wants to go on that journey and how can I help them get going? Then connect with one group who's already on their way there and just watch and listen for a while. Now from the top marketing blog, number 2, which is Seth Godin's blog. And of course, I'm a big fan of Seth because he's simply remarkable in every sense of the word, including his own sense of the word and definition of remarkable in Purple Cow. If you visit his log on any given day, you'll find an abundant handful of actionable items. Most of his posts are short. One long one is especially relevant. It's titled, Why Write a Book? Now, many marketing counselors will tell you to write a book. Dan Kennedy, Dan Pointer, Zig Ziglar, Bob Bly, to name a few. Books help establish credibility. And for professional speakers, books are the new business cards. And books are simply quite fabulous self-promotional tools. But self-promotion is not what Seth had in mind when he wrote the post. His point is deeper than that. It gets at the very heart of marketing, which, quote, is to make change happen, unquote. Tweets are nice, but as Seth says, a 140-character tweet cannot change a book, someone's life, but a book just might. A good friend of mine, Daniel Waldschmidt, is determined to change the world. He thinks he can. He's not delusional. He thinks everyone has the potential to change the world. Writing a book is a great way for you to start on your quest to change the world. The lesson from this post, if you want to make a difference to change the world, sometimes you need to do something more than a tweet, a brochure, or a YouTube video. Looking inside and connecting with the passion that got you into the business in the first place will fuel your efforts to create something with enough leverage to change your world. So the action plan from this marketing blog number 2, grab a copy of Dan Pointer's, that's Pointer's, book, Is There a Book Inside of You? And then Steve Zosmer's, Zosmer, You Don't Have to Be Famous, How to Write Your Life Story. Get those two books, Is There a Book Inside of You? And You Don't Have to Be Famous. Assume there is a book inside of you. What would the title be? Who would read it? How would they change as a result? If you got what you want from your journey, would that be something others would want too? Write it down. Lessons from the top marketing blog number 3, Ads of the World. If you want to see advertising that's working around the world, take a look at adsoftheworld.com. The, quote, of the world, unquote, part is particularly valuable. You know, too often our hometown equals the world. We extend our assumptions, commitments, preferences, sensibilities universally. If we think it, feel it, believe it, want it, well, then so must everyone else. Spend some time on adsoftheworld.com, and you might be surprised to discover that that's most certainly not the case. The world is not just like our world. In one post, Go Viral Game Changer Results, Ads of the World focus on the top campaigns for the first decade of this century. This post is worth studying with your creative team and your customer service team, too. The game changer of the decade was the Mentos Coca-Cola experiment, where the scientists put Mentos in 2-liter bottles of Coca-Cola and had a whole lot of fun with it. The experiment, of course, included two quite well-known brands, and the video achieved the all-coveted viral status. The shocker is it was well on its way to viral long before either brand knew about it. When the big brands did become aware of the experiment, they did not engage the corporate legal department to shut the video down. Instead, they embraced what was going on in the marketplace and offered their help. The lesson here, You are not in control of your brand. Efforts to exert force to control your brand, like getting the lawyers to pull something off YouTube, or to control your message, will probably not only fail, they'll become the fodder for great hilarity and well-circulated blog posts about your efforts to control the message. Instead, embrace what's already going on with your brand and see what you can do to help them do it more. So the action step here, sign up for Google alerts and tweet beeps on your key brand name, product, or whatever is important for you to track, and find someone who's doing something with your stuff online. Watch them for a while, just watch, and then reach out to them to see what else you can give them to help them on their way. The fourth ranked top marketing blog is Search Engine Land. Now, I am not an SEO expert. Still, the Search Engine Land blog has fascinated me for some time. We're living in an amazing time where we can actually measure and test the impact of specific words we used. And by test, I mean assess the actual behavior human beings engage in as a result of our content. Not some focus group or their guess at future behavior, but actual behavior. That's why I'm fascinated with Search Engine Land. It is packed full of thorough search engine insight and tips of what people actually do based on keywords. A recent post that they published focused on the Fort Hood, Texas rampage. In the post entitled "The Algorithm Chasers," Kim Drausberg detailed how news reporters turned to Twitter and other social media sites for word preference tools. They were wondering, should their headlines use hurt or injured? Should they spell out Fort Hood, F-O-R-T, Hood, or should they abbreviate F-T, period, Hood? So as the story unfolded in real time, those reporting it crunched data from social media and Google to help them unfold the news story online. The stories they wrote were often given to designers who would then actually present the story. So in other words, you have the creators and then you have the presenters. And of these presenters, Berg says, quote, designers use boldface, italics, larger fonts, color choices, borders, and much more to attract attention to words. But user motivation is focused on the meaning, relevancy, and emotion behind the words. So the lesson here is content creators are focusing more and more on content consumers in real time, and content presentation motive is sometimes at odds with user consumption motivation. So action for you based on this blog post is find as much user-generated content about you as you can. Make a list of the words they are using to talk about you. Find the common words they're using. How do those words fit with your own perception of you? If you can't find much content about you online, search for user-generated content about the problem you solve. If you're a CPA, see what people are saying about solving tax problems or IRS problems and see what actual words they're using to talk about their fears, hopes, challenge, the details of their dilemma. And make a list of all the words your marketplace is using to talk about the experience that you, their experience and the problem you solve. Without spinning the truth, rework your wording about what you do to incorporate their words. If you're still stuck, identify your best competitors and see what folks are saying about them. Make a user list and repeat the action step above. The key is to find out what people are actually using to describe their problems. And then, while staying authentic and not stretching the truth or spinning things, use their words to talk about the problems that you solve. And finally, from the number 5 top marketing blog from Ad Age's Power 150, is my friend Brian Solis, who is a PR phenomenon out in California. when I read his post, I'm impressed with how thorough, how well-researched, and well-linked to supporting artifacts they are. One of his recent posts caught my eye, and it may be because it reinforces what I keep on saying in my presentations. You know, it's funny how that works. We tend to find material that supports our commitments and viewpoints anyway. So that's the case with this particular post. The title is, Who is the Me in Social Media? And Brian documents how private is becoming public, even giving rise to what he notes are the, quote, the web equivalent of nudist, unquote. His article is lengthy. If you want data for who specifically is doing what on social media and how they feel about it, it's a good article to start study. It probably won't take you too long to realize people basically are doing a lot of what they do online because they like the attention they get. That's where his article solidly supports the thesis I keep advocating, and that is everyone wants to be heard, everyone wants to be understood, and everyone wants to know his or her life matters. The lesson here, people are moving more and more towards the media and the places and the people who acknowledge them. The action step here. Go through your sales records and find three avid supporters of your business. Invite them over for an interview if you can. Find out what's important to them. Use whatever media you have to help make them a star and help them achieve what's important to them. If you have a blog, make a blog post all about them. If you have a newsletter, you know, those things you print and put postage on and mail out, well then make a star of them in your next issue. Keep repeating this. Keep talking to the people that love you already. Shine a spotlight on them. Find out where they're heading and see what you can do to help them get there. And the ultimate bottom line is that marketing is an expression of the heart and soul of who you are and what you want to accomplish in the world. One of my favorite TV shows is the Bob Newhart Show. And psychologist Bob Newhart would probably say at this point that you should get in touch with your feelings. If you do that, then as you use social media, express your heart and soul. As you use all media, express your heart and soul. And when you do, it will attract others to you who share your heart. And as that happens, use your media to demonstrate you are listening, that you're seeking to understand, and that you're doing everything you can do to facilitate their quest for significance and meaning. In the end, you'll both win, big time. I'm Trey Pennington on the Social Marketing Success Strategies, and I hope you have a great week.
This CPN broadcast was brought to you by Virtually Ready, where you can extend your reach with web presence solutions. And by Avalon Design Unlimited, your straight-to-the-point design source.
This is Liz Lynch. Join me for Business Development Radio right here on EPN.
This is Amber MacArthur, and you are tuned in to EPN.
Advice, personal development, motivation, and live event coverage. It's all right here on the ePodcast Network.